Paul, what are your thoughts on betting? And are there any types of betting that you like?
Gambling in general just makes me sick, and I hate it, and I feel just bad for people who do it. But a slight twist on this, I love the game What Are the Odds?
Oh, What Are the Odds is awesome. I love
that. I remember when we were in college, we were working upstate New York, and we had a day with our group where we just played What Are the Odds. Like, for those who don't know, you go to someone, you say, what are the odds? And you say something crazy. What are the odds you chug your whole water bottle right now?
1 out of 10.
And so both of you, you count to three, and both of you have to say a number.
Between 1 and 10.
And if you say the same number, the person has to do the thing. And then we played with an additional rule, whereas if the person says
1 out of 2,
then if you say the same number, it's normal. But if you say different numbers, the person who asked the question has to do it. And I remember we were at like some tourist trap in upstate New York, and I asked you, Brad, what are the odds you go into the bathroom, put some toilet paper on your shoe, and you come out and you loudly ask the person in the front, excuse me, I need a plunger, I clogged the toilet. And you said 1 and 2, and my heart just sank so deep into my stomach. I was like, oh my word, I'm gonna have to do this.
And we're very serious about, like, you have to do the things. Like, you, if it's something that you would literally never do, you have to do like such a big number that you're never gonna do it. But we loved getting those close calls.
And so we said, we counted the three, and we said the same number. And so Brad had to do it. And I just...
That's a great video of me walking up, and I had, like, flip-flops on, and big said it really loud, like, excuse me, can I please borrow a plunger? And, like...
The worker was, like, mortified for you.
And, like, was, like, showing me the toilet paper sticking out of my shoes. And then I was, like, I told the worker, it's in the far stall.
And then we just left. Out.
So obviously there was nothing for him to clean up, but...
So that is betting-esque in that regard, and I love that just because it's, like, silly and fun and communal and not, like, monetary and, like, addictive, and if you get stuck on it, you can just destroy your life.
Yes.
What about you?
I didn't even think about that, but that is a part of betting that I think is amazing. That aspect, the what are the odds. I've played with many people who don't do the odds. Like, if you're gonna play what are the odds, you gotta play what are the odds. Anyways, there's two ways that I think betting can be fun. One of them is penny bets, where you make a bet and it's literally for a penny, so it's like it's pretty much meaningless, right? I had a friend in Pittsburgh who liked doing penny bets, and so it would be like, then like 5 days later he'd bring you like a couple pennies, and you had a couple pennies because you won the bet.
Which you just keep then for future penny bets.
And the other one is, I have a couple of different friends who I've made heaven bets with, where it's like, I think that we will sleep in heaven, and they think that we won't sleep in heaven. So I'm like, when we get to heaven, one of us will be right, and one of us will be wrong, and we'll be like, you're right. And that's the whole thing. There's no, like, there's no stakes at all, but it's just like, do you think that we're going to use the bathroom in heaven? And then I have a heaven bet for sleeping and a heaven bet for pooping. And those are the only two I have right now. But if anybody wants to make a heaven bet, we can talk about it.
Oh, that's great.
Anyways, today we are... Well, welcome to IndieQ. We didn't even say welcome. But welcome to IndieQ. And today we are talking about the game Cuphead.
Yes, Cuphead is a 2D platformer, boss rush, bullet hell.
And if any of those things sound fun to you, you might not like this game.
But also has a wonderful art style. It's based off of 1930s cartoons. And they're all hand-drawn. It's not like it's computer-generated. It is, what was it, something like 50,000 unique frames of hand-drawn animation for this game.
I feel like I need to say why might not be fun for you. And that is because this game is extremely difficult. And although it is very beautiful and a lot of times fun to watch, I had, like, my roommate would just, like, come down and watch me play this game when we were playing it. But it is really hard. And so, like, oh, I like 2D platformers. But, like, what about a really, really hard one that's going to be punishing? And a boss rush. Oh, this is fun. That's also really difficult. And bolt hell. It's like all these difficult things. I don't know if platformers are always difficult, but it's just the level of difficulty with all those things mashed together.
Yeah. I think...
causes a very interesting type of game.
Not that I've played this game very much, but there's certain levels that really remind me of, like, Contra. The old... I don't even know what system Contra is on. I just remember having played it and just, like, being happy if I make it to the second level.
Right. Because if you get hit once in Contra... Is it once?
I think it's once.
And you're just dead. And so, if you have those lives, you start over the whole level.
Yeah.
But,
thematically, though, Cuphead. You were like a Mickey Mouse-esque character with a cup head. And that's you. Your other option is Mugman, who is like the Luigi of the universe.
Yep. They operate exactly the same way. There's not like a difference.
It's a color difference.
Yep.
When you're fighting, your characters will point their fingers and weird glowy bullets will fly out that you use to fight your enemies.
So, yes. And I really love the art style of this game. And you are already kind of sharing just how meticulously the artists went into creating this beautiful game after mimicking these 1930s cartoons. And even like the story is like told in that like more grandiose, like silly, cartoony way than normal games that I've ever played. It's very silly and like...
I mean, the premise of the story of the game is that your characters went to a casino which is owned by the devil. The devil comes out when you're on a winning streak and craps and beats you and you bet your souls. And so he basically assigns you the task of going and collecting the debts of all the people from these islands. They owe their souls too. So you have to go beat them up and bring this soul contract back to the devil. And that is the premise of the game, is you are...
collecting debts. You are a tax, or a debt collector...
for the devil.
And you go run around shooting people with little colorful orbs of balls that comes out of your finger until they die. They don't actually die, but yeah, until you defeat them, and then they're carried off. Some of them are actually like carried off in stretchers or like some things like that. But there's a lot of charm and character to all of the different characters or bosses that you're fighting against. Because that's what you're doing, is you're fighting against these different characters who have debt.
Whether it be like vegetables, you know, root vegetables in a garden, or like frogs that are boxers, or a pirate ship and a pirate captain.
So
it's just like
very variable
and just very unique. And just, I feel like they really had to have fun coming up with the, you know, the pirate one reminds me of like Popeye to a degree.
Right.
And it's just like, it's cool that they are able to like, hey, this is such a wacky theme that we can really just, if we had any inspiration whatsoever, you know, I think there's like a mummy themed level where there's a different like,
yeah,
mummies and like pyramids and stuff.
So this
a robot and a mad scientist. It's just like any fun, wacky thing that you can draw in a night, you know, in that cartoony style was just like, this is fair game to be in the game.
So I think that there's like with the boss rush. Like I've only played a couple, at least a handful of boss rush type games, and in many other games, it's not as obvious, but there's like phases to each boss. So it's not like you're just fighting one guy and then he fights, but he'll transform and do his next set of things. And the way that Cuphead like lines itself up, it kind of has like very distinct markers after you have either failed or finished the level that like show like how far, how close you were to the end of the level, with like distinct like lines that show you which phase you were on.
And
so,
typically how long said phase lasts too,
right,
which I think is super helpful. I think that gives you so much hope, and that, I mean, sometimes you feel like you were close to, you know, you played for a long time and then you see where you ended and you're like, oh, I still have a bunch to go. But other times you're like, oh man, I was probably one shot away.
Right.
Which is frustrating, but I feel like a lot of times where I've played games that are similar to this, there's no health bars displayed. So that's, you know, it's not
For the enemy. Yeah. I was thinking after your own, you're like, you don't have your own health bar. Like, it tells you how many hits you can take.
How many lives you have left, yes. But sometimes you can just feel like this, am I close? Yeah. Am I, sometimes you feel like you're close, but then you realize that you're not. And I just like that they give you a visual representation after every death of like, this is how far you made it. To then be like, hey, I might not win the next time, but I can, my aim can be to make it further than I did my last game. And this is a game where you were going to lose a lot.
Mm-hmm. I kind of wish that Cuphead would show a similar thing to like Celeste. Like Celeste shows you how many times you died in each level. I think it would be, I don't know if that's really even important at all, but I'm curious, like, which levels took me the most deaths to get through, or which ones did I get through the easiest? Like, that would be a cool piece of information to have.
For sure.
I literally just thought of that for the first time right now.
There's also, I would say there's three distinct level types. By far, the most common is just the straight up boss fight, where you were Cuphead or Mugman, and there's some platforming, you're jumping up and down, and you have to, you know, aim at the boss, different phases. There are also these levels where you are, strangely enough, like a little airplane, and you are flying around the level, doing basically the same thing, but you don't have the same...
you don't have gravity.
Yeah, you're just able to move anywhere on the screen, trying to avoid, you know, all of the obstacles that could damage you. And then the last one are called run-and-gun levels. I believe there's only five of them in the game. And these are levels where are more platformy.
Like
you're moving, more Contra-like. You're moving through the level. There might be some obstacles, like mini-bosses in your way, blocking off the second half of the level or to finish the level off.
Right.
But for the most part, it is, you're moving through it, enemies are running through the screen, you have to watch out from behind you, in front of you, they're shooting projectiles at you.
You gotta avoid the Goombas.
Yes.
And so, those three types, did you have any, like, strong thoughts, like, pro or against?
I am not a big fan of the airplane levels.
Okay.
You're using the different, like, you have two different guns you can use. You have just a straight shooter, straightforward, and then you have like this lob bomb that does more damage, but a little bit more difficult to aim because it's not just straight ahead. And I just, those are significantly more bullet heli because you can use the whole screen.
Yeah, so they utilize that as part of the mechanics.
Versus, I think the regular boss levels are my favorite. I love learning the bosses and their telegraphs.
Yep.
And then it's really fun, and once you like go through the whole game, to just like start playing some of the easier levels, earlier levels again, because you have learned so much skills throughout the game that those beginning levels just are so easy, and you feel like, wow, I've gotten so much better at this. And then you definitely get better at the airplane levels too. I just don't like them as much.
And as many of them.
I'm glad there's a lot fewer of them.
Yeah.
And then the running guns, like, technically, you can skip all of them. Like, if you don't like them, you don't even have to play them. It's just a way to get more coins to buy stuff in the shops.
Which allows you to get different guns and, different, what are they called, stamps, or what are they called?
Badges?
Badges, that's what it is. But yeah, I did not like the running guns, but I am a completionist at heart, and so I did all the running guns, but those are my least favorite by far. And then the plane levels were below the platforming normal levels to me, but not by far. So I definitely preferred the normal like you are Cuphead, not in a plane.
Speaking of the different guns, did you have a favorite or combination, or what did you use when you played?
So I like started off not having any clue what would be what is good at all. So I'm just completely blind. I wasn't like looking at anything or have anybody tell me what was good. And so I like gravitated towards the guns that would do more damage but were more complicated. So like one of them is like a shotgun, essentially, that shoots a bunch. It's not necessarily complicated, but that one is like
short, you have
to
get range,
super close in order for it to hit, because it will stop. It doesn't go across the whole screen. So that is where I kind of, once I got that one, I would like, I used it
almost mostly, exclusively,
unless I needed something else. But at the very end of the game, like, I started using, I think it's called the crack shot, which, like, it shoots off and it's, like, a pretty powerful individual shot in one direction. But after a certain distance, it, like, breaks off and it will attack the nearest hitbox. So it's, like, automatically going to hit with a much weaker shot. And so I was already aiming everything where I wanted it to go. So a lot of times I would hit it with the powerful, like, individual shot. And so, to me, it went way faster using the crack shot than it did even utilizing the shotgun right up next to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like... And so, like, at the end of the game, like, when I switched off of the shotgun, I was, like, flying through levels. And, like, the last level, I beat pretty quick because I had built up my ability so much more with the shotgun one. And then when I switched over to the crack shot, I was, like, burned through the last couple levels.
Yeah, I also gravitated towards the shotgun. There's another one, I have no clue the names, but basically it is a rapid fire, but wherever you aim, it always will go to where the, you know, an enemy is, but it does less damage. And I would switch between the two, because the one that does, you know, is automatic hit is nice because you don't have to focus on aiming. You can focus on trying to dodge or trying to just, like, learn the tells of the different bosses while just holding down the trigger, and you're going to slowly get them down. And then once you kind of get a hang of it that way, you can start combining the two, because you can have two different guns at once, but you can switch between the two. Even if you have, you know, all of the guns unlocked, you can only ever pick two to go into the level with. And so I would, when I was able to get up close, have the shotgun to do a lot of damage, but then there's certain phases or parts where there's a lot of stuff going on and you're trying to dodge a lot more. And that's when I would switch back and forth. So I was always doing some damage, but then doing max damage when I was able to get in close.
I'm curious if, like, what gun does the max damage, like the ways that, like, there's ways to probably measure that, or speedrunners know, like, this level you should use this one because of X, Y, Z thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look into any of that. I just played it by my heart. I'm a heart player. Speaking of hearts, the badge that I used was, like, if you parry, like, you gain life back. Did you use... What badge did you... We didn't even talk about parrying, but... In the game, sometimes there are pink things that fly across the screen, and if it's pink, you can push a button to parry, and it will, like... it fills up your gauge to, like, do your super attack and different things like that. But I used that, like, the whole time. What badge did you end up using?
So that badge that you're talking about is actually part of the DLC. And my first playthrough of the game, I played on my Steam Deck, which I did not have the DLC for. So I just used the one that gave me an extra...
So you start with four lives.
Four lives instead of only having three. And I pretty much used that the whole game. But then, once I realized you were talking about the DLC, I realized that we also had it on the Switch, and the Switch had the DLC included. Mm-hmm. So, I played through the game a second time to play the DLC, and I gravitated towards that same badge that you were talking about, just because there's also the different metrics that they grade you on at the end of each level, and one of them is getting at least three parries, and that was one that I often... didn't do, but when you have the incentive to parry to, like, hey, every, I think it's every odd number parry.
I think it's like 1, 3, and 6 would, or whatever it was, but it's only three extra lives. It's not like an infinite number.
But still, it, like, incentivizes you to utilize this mechanic that also then gives you a higher grade, which is one of those dumb things where it's just like,
Did you go back and play games to get a higher grade ever?
I contemplated it, but it's not something that I like felt the need to. And there have been times where I have been, like, really compulsive. I think both of us have had it in different games where we're like, we're not gonna finish and stop until we get this. And both of us, talking about it retrospectively, regretted that play style because it kind of took away from enjoying the game. I feel like that's one of those things where I would say in a future playthrough, maybe, I could see myself going and trying to do stuff. I also know that there are some secrets, like, on the running gun levels, they're possible to win without killing anybody, and you get a P grade for pacifist. And if you beat all of them with the pacifist, there's a certain character you can talk to that gives you, like, a black and white filter for the whole game.
Oh, really?
And so, like there's kind of some Easter cool eggs. Little Easter egg-y stuff like that. And I think it's just a unique thing that makes it feel more old-timey with the same, you know, it's... No. But I like it. They make it so it's something that you can do, but you have to, like...
Do this thing.
I love Easter eggs that are, like, there's a challenge. You might, you know, it feels like something that, like, back in the day, you hear someone talk about it at the playground.
Yeah.
Telling you about this secret. They probably would tell you the wrong thing. Or lie to you about something. I remember trying in, like, Mario 64 or Mario Sunshine to do something that some people told me on the playground that was just blatantly not true.
Do you remember what they told you?
I think for Mario 64, they told you there's a secret way that you could unlock Yoshi. If you go to this place early on in Peach's Castle and you do this special thing. I just... could never do it. And it's not, we didn't have Mario 64, so only ever when I was like at a friend's house that had Mario 64.
Right.
And so just be like, they told me you could do it this way. And I don't know if they were like purposefully deceiving or if it was they were talking about a different game and I just filled in the blank of what I thought they were talking about.
Right.
But
it's funny because in my head I'm like, I think there's a way to get Yoshi. It's like on the top of the castle. Like I remember that, and I don't know if it's real or if it's just something that I've heard too.
Yeah,
I don't know. I didn't really play Mario 64. We were more in the GameCube era.
Yeah. So, but I love the fact that there are Easter eggs and like challenge things to do.
Yeah. So going into, we already talked about the fact that Cuphead is quite a difficult game. What are your thoughts on, like, difficulty in games? Like, if you were to give advice or feedback to someone who's making a game, what kinds of things are you going to be saying about the difficulty of games?
That's a tough one. I personally enjoy difficult games, but they need to be difficult and fair. They can't just be... random stupidity is causing the difficulty or poor controls that cause it. Like games that control well, that your characters are very responsive to doing what it is you're trying to do for bosses or enemies. If they're fighting in the game, having them telegraph their moves and not just do a random flurry of
whatever
garbage that, you know, feels cheap. Those are, there. It's very, there's a very specific way that games are hard that I still think that they're enjoyable.
Oh, yeah.
And if that is what the game is going for, I think those are games I really gravitate towards. And I think those games should hold true to the fact that they are designing a hard game, a hard but fair game. And for the most part, I would advise them not to worry about making the game accessible to the widest audience. I really like games that they have a vision and they have an intended audience and they make that game for that audience. And then, because I feel like a lot of games tack on, oh, let's have, you know, multiple difficulty levels. And in doing so, basically just make enemies bullet sponges if they're on harder difficulties or like just kill you super easy, reduce all of your health. I really like it. I think Cuphead does a pretty good job at this. Of you can make the game easier or harder for yourself based on like the weapons that you choose. I'm sure that there's a tier list of like which ones are the best and which ones are the worst. There's even a badge that is literally, this badge does nothing. Which you can be like, I beat the whole game, you know, the nothing badge. As opposed to I beat the game with the one that gives me two extra lives. Or the parry to get extra lives. The customization of that.
I actually don't really feel like Cuphead allows for... I mean, there's the customization aspect for sure. But it's not like gatekeeped behind, like, this one's better, this one's worse. It's more... I feel like it's going to be play style. Like, there's going to be different things like that. And I think that there are obvious, like, the one you start with, like, the...
Straight ahead.
The pea shooter, I think is what it's called, is not supposed to be the best one. Like, it's, like, obvious, like, oh, I can, like, upgrade my shooting. But I feel like each different gun could shine in certain scenarios. Like, there are certain bosses that, like, are above you all the time. And there's not, they're not really to the sides or below you. And so there's a gun that, like, you shoot, it shoots forward and then it, like, floats up like a balloon. Like, goes up to the top. So if you're shooting forward, it's also, it's going to go off the top screen. And so, like, utilizing those types of things in certain scenarios could be good. So I don't feel like it's less about which gun is best. It might be, like, figuring out which gun will work in this situation.
Yes, but there also is, like, self-imposed, I can make this harder for myself by not picking the one that's best suited for this or only limiting myself to certain things. Cuphead also has a quote-unquote, like, easy mode for each level, which...
Neither of us actually used.
We didn't play. We looked up what it even was. Basically, it cuts off the final phase, and I think everything's a little bit more, like...
The patterns are slightly changed.
It's slow, easier pattern recognition. Basically, a way where you could, like, train... to get better at doing it. Sometimes you can just get, you know, wiped pretty fast. Or I think one thing that's cool is sometimes you are locked from moving on to the next level because you have to defeat all the bosses in one world before you can move to the next world. And if you just got sick and tired and just couldn't beat one, to just say, oh, I'm just going to beat this one on easy and then come back to it later, but give myself some variety as opposed to just like smashing your face against a brick wall.
Yeah.
But
the game doesn't actually allow you to fight the final two bosses in the final area until you've beaten every boss on the normal mode.
I feel like that is a very... There's a fine line to walk with difficult games of, like, you don't want people to just completely bounce off of your games or just, like, get stuck by a game and then can only experience a third of the content because they just weren't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
To give them the opportunity to, like... I think this is a really... I appreciate the fact that there is an easy mode, even though I didn't use it, to, like, hey, we'll try to let people experience as much of the game as they possibly can, even if they have not as quite, they're not quite as skillful as other people. I mean, even, I'm sure it's probably not just a complete cakewalk for someone who's not good at video games to even beat the easy levels, but I like the fact that they're like, we will not let you say you beat the game unless you could actually go through the game on normal for everybody.
Yeah.
I think it's cool to have, like, this is the standard experience. And if you're going to beat the game, you're going to be in the same, you beat the same game as everyone else who's able to say they beat the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I also like that aspect. And I think both of us are pretty skilled at, like, most things, so that we might be biased in that, whereas somebody else might be like, I hate that. that I can't finish the whole game on the easy mode. But I think because we both love challenges and we love, like, doing hard things and the, like, it feels really good to be like, I did it. I made it happen. But I'm also not the type of person who's like, I beat it on normal mode, I'm going to go beat it on hard mode. Because there's, like, I think you can, like, raise the difficulty after you beating it on. I actually don't know if that's true, but I think there is.
I think you're right. I didn't do that either. I did not feel
the need to. I beat the hard game on normal mode, and I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
When I think about my experience with hard games, like, the type of hard game that Cuphead is resonates with me immediately. Like, right when I joined the game, I'm like, oh, yes, I understand what's going on. I know what I'm trying to do. I am running forward trying to succeed, and I'm going to fail a bunch at the very beginning. But that's okay, because I know where I'm going. The other, like, type of game that really stands out to me as, like, a very difficult game is, like, Souls-like, so Dark Souls. And the one game that we've done on this list so far that's a Souls-like is Salt and Sanctuary. Every time that I've ever played a game like that, I didn't know, like, what I'm trying to do, where I'm trying to go, what the point, or what I even want my character to be like. And so I bounced off all of them. Every single time I've ever started one, like Elden Ring, Dark Souls, Salt and Sanctuary. But then you brought me back in, been like, we're going to play Salt and Sanctuary. I want you to try it again. And you gave me a little bit of direction as to what I'm doing. I didn't even know what Souls like when I played it the first time. I was just like, what is this game? Why am I dying so much? And what is the point? You gave me a little bit of direction, and you told me, I think you would like playing this type of character. And I was like, I'm doing it. I'm going all in on the little direction that you gave me. And it was so fun. I really enjoyed my time with Salt and Sanctuary. And I think that if I did that with, like, Elden Ring or any of the Dark Souls games, like, if I even knew my options, like, at the beginning of the game, it's like, what do you want your character to start off like? And I'm like, I don't know what any of those things mean or how any of these things operate. So I feel weird picking. And then I pick, and then I'm like, I don't really like this. I don't know what I'm doing. So, I don't actually know which one do you think is harder, Song Sanctuary or Cuphead?
I think Cuphead is a lot easier to get into just because of it's a lot lighter in like visual style.
I think it's funny because Cuphead is probably the most visually appealing game that we have on this list. And I think Salt and Sanctuary is the least appealing visual game on this list.
But I actually think that Cuphead might be harder. Just because Salt and Sanctuary is a lot more plotting and slow, and you just, like, you can't just, like, button mash when you're fighting. You have to, like, make purposeful attacks, step back, observe, get in there. Where Cuphead is just, like, just, like, a brass band of just cacophony, things flying around. You're just like constantly it's bullet hell. And so it just the frantic nature and the fact that it's just like you have three lives. If you get hit three times, you just lose. It's not like, oh, in Salt and Sanctuary, if you get hit for a bit, you can step back and heal up a little bit and then jump back into the fray. It's literally just old school. Like, arcade. I'm going to steal your quarters, except for you bought the game, so the no quarters necessary, just get good.
This is an aside, but I don't like arcades and paying quarters for each game at all. I'd much rather pay an upfront thing and just be able to play it as much as I want. And I have some trauma in my life surrounding quarters, and we won't get into it right now. But I have a problem, and maybe I need to go to an arcade and spend a couple quarters and be okay with it. But right now, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. One thing I also think, I don't know that it's intentional, but I find it very humorous, is, so Cuphead came out in 2017, and the premise of the game is gambling is bad, and the devil is going to steal your soul and make you do stuff you don't want to do as a result of gambling. And 2017 is also, like, the peak of, like, AAA microtransactions. It's like when Battlefront 2 came out and had that big hubbubaloo about how predatory its loot boxes were and how you can't really... win. Yeah. And I feel like, even if it's not intentional, there is this dig at these AAA studios and, like, just their... predatory, like, they are the devil, getting gamers to gamble and in ways that the gamers can't win. It's literally, they're just stealing their money, they're stealing their soul, and, like, getting them to try to get other people involved. You know, get your friends to play this game so we can steal their money, too, steal their soul. And I think it's humorous that you could read into... I don't think just the world where it came out in of like, this is a punch in the face. This is a little indie game made mostly by two brothers. But then, you know, they ended up getting a team together who kind of spat in the face of AAA studios, and the game did phenomenal.
Yeah.
And the message of the game is kind of like this gambling aspect that they are doing is evil. And they are the big, bad, bestial devil. And watch out for him.
Yeah.
That makes me a little bit happy.
Yeah. And Cuphead is also a very vibrant, happy-looking game. Like, there's some weird, like, characters and stuff. But, like, that's just the feel throughout it. And the whole loot box gambling stuff, like, doesn't compute with my brain. And I think we're cut from the same cloth. Like, it's like we're brothers or something. Where I'm, like, so against gambling, and that idea is, like, so foreign to something that I would want to do. Any game that has any, like, microtransactions or anything like that, it's not even remotely interesting to me.
We are the kind of people who, like, even, like, free-to-play games, like, we played Fortnite for a hot minute, and both of us were proud of the fact that I am going to use the base skin.
The default.
You know, I mean, we're noobs, and we never really got good at it, but also, I'm the kind of person who, if I sunk a bunch of time into a game like that, I would still want to be the one. I am using just the standard base skins, and I'm going to look like a noob, and I'm not going to look cool as everybody else, but there's nothing you could do to get me to spend a dollar to buy a way to look cosmetically
different. It would make me, like, I even if somebody's like, I'm going to put $5 onto your account so that you would buy something, I would be like, I refuse. I don't even want that. I would not want that. I had this memory that just popped into my head when we were little. Our little sister got an iTunes gift card to, like, get a couple of songs off iTunes. And she bought a song.
That we already had?
That I already owned. And I was so sad, like, that she wasted her money. Like, there's, like, that's the kind of person that I am. I was, like, devastated. She's 10 years younger than me. Like, I was, like, she wasn't even upset. I was devastated. I could have saved her a dollar. And I, like, heavily, like, I wanted to get a dollar and give it to her so she could get another song. But I think it's time to start ranking that sucker. Unless there's anything else that you want to talk about.
We had everything I had.
All right. Again, our format, we have four categories for our games. Skipping the line, these are your best games. The cut ahead, they're going to jump ahead of most things. The wait your turn, and then the end of the line, the ones we want to just kick off to the end. They're not bad games, but play the other ones first.
I have a thought, but I want to hear where you would place it first and that. Because mine is, I have like a general area, and I feel like it could get pushed or pulled depending on what your thoughts are on the game.
On which section do I want to put it in?
Yes.
I would like to put it in cut ahead. That's my gut.
That is my gut as well. And I was like, if you are in love with this game, I could see it getting pulled up to skip the line. And if you absolutely hate this game, maybe I would probably fight for it to be at the very bottom of cut ahead. But
I feel like it's like the top of cut ahead. Like, in my head, I'm like, this is a really good game, but I just don't think it's skipping the line. Like, it's close, but it's not. I wouldn't put it up there. Okay.
I'm happy with that.
I think this might be the first time that we've just, like, straight up agreed on the location. Or even agreed with our, like, my own self. I know it's in this one spot. So, let's talk about
these. I think we start at the bottom-ish. Because you think it should be at the top.
I do.
Do you kind of speed up, maybe, walking up the line?
The very top game in Wait Your Turn, which is the one right below Cut Ahead, is Salt and Sanctuary, which we've kind of already discussed. But I definitely think Cuphead is a superior game to Salt and Sanctuary, so that moves us into the bottom of Cuphead.
I just love so much about Salt and Sanctuary, but Cuphead is so much more refined and more, I don't want to say mass appeal, but just like, it's just a joyful, awful time.
That's a good, I really like that. Joyful, awful time. Anyways, the bottom of Cut Ahead, Neon White.
This was the game that I got stuck in trying to 100%.
Yeah.
I think Cuphead, story-wise, has so much less going on and does it so much better.
Yeah.
And so, gameplay-wise, I love the speedrunning aspect of Neon White. I think it's a super fun game, but I just think Cuphead is just a superior product.
And I almost think that Cuphead would be a better speedrunning game than Neon White, even though Neon White is a speedrunning game.
The thing I like about Neon White is the fact that it makes the basic way you play the game is speedrunning, whereas Cuphead, the basic way to play the game is just try to survive and make it through it, and you have to get to the point where you are good enough to want to speedrun. I just like that. I appreciate that in Neon White. It's like, hey guys, there is this world out there of speedrunning, and we're going to make you experience it in this game, and it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
And so it might open doors to you to try to do that with other games. No, whereas Cuphead, I don't think if you're not into speedrunning, you would never think, this is something I want to do with Cuphead.
Yeah. All right. Definitely above Neon White. Up to Tunic. This is your baby.
It is. I love Tunic. I think just the art style, I just appreciate it so much more in Cuphead.
Even though Tunic is really cute.
Tunic is very cute. But I feel like it also leaves some to be desired, in my opinion, of it hits, I think it hits what it's going for, but it's not like top level, where I feel like you can show anybody just, not sort of let them play it, but just like show them different
parts
of Cuphead, and they'd be like, wow, like this is really unique and really cool, and it's top of its craft.
Yeah. Like I was saying, my one of our roommates would like come downstairs and just sit on the couch and watch me play. He had no idea what I'm doing. He's just like watching, because it pulls you in with Cuphead. Whereas if somebody walked in and somebody playing Tunic, it's like, oh, you're playing a video game, and you walk out.
Yeah.
You come in watching Cuphead, you're like, whoa.
My son liked watching me play. For a while, I was stuck on a level that was a train. My son loves trains.
It's funny because that was the easiest level for me in the whole game.
I was on that for way too long.
I feel like I beat it like my second try.
It just goes to show, like,
the different
play styles and different things that come easy to you. Like, I could make it to, like, near the end almost every time, and then it would just die. It was like, it took me a while to get to the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, he always, and then once I finally beat it, he was always upset that I wasn't playing the train level anymore.
So it's good that you were, that was hard for you, because he got to experience it for longer.
Yeah.
But I think it's above Tunic.
Yeah.
Forgotten City. The Forgotten City. I love the story.
These are so hard to compare. There's like opposite ends of the spectrum. Forgotten City is more, it's almost like a walking simulator mixed with this, like, detective game that is meant to be more plodding and slow, and Cuphead is just hard and frantic and fast. You play Forgotten City for the experience, not for the gameplay, and you're kind of done with it once you finish it. Where Cuphead is, like, something that you could be, like, trying to high score with your letters and stuff. But they're just vastly different, and I think I want to push Cuphead above.
Let's push. The next on the list is Towerfall. I love Towerfall. It's a delight to play with friends. It's not as beautiful. It's not as intricate. It's not as
doesn't sound as good. What's something we haven't talked about? Because I think we do a poor job addressing this, because it's not something that's always front of our mind. Cuphead is phenomenal score.
Yeah.
It's just this frantic, like, period feeling. Like,
big band.
It's like, just,
it's not an orchestra, but
it is just, it is bombastic and fun and in your face, and really fits, like, the tension of, I have one life left, and I'm at the end of this thing, and it just feels like everything is ramping up, and it just, like, it feels so, like, in place. Whereas I feel like Towerfall music kind of sucks. In my person, I don't really like it that much. It's kind of like a kind of sound instead of like this crisp, clear, purposeful.
I think we like Cuphead more.
I think we do.
Cuphead's a good game. So, the next on the list is Dead Cells. Dead Cells versus Cuphead. This is more the one that I...
I feel like this is your darling. Like, Tunic is my darling.
Love me some Dead Cells. Dead Cells can get hard, but I just love the repeatability. Maybe not repeatability. That's not a good word. But just the way that Cuphead runs is like, you're going through this level, and then you died here, and you're right back. You can get right back to that spot. Whereas Dead Cells is like that whole... The whole... things restarts back to nothing, being a roguelite. And so, I do definitely like Cuphead better. It looks better, even though I do love
I'm a little Dead surprised. Cells. I thought I was going to have to fight to get it above Dead Cells.
Really?
Just because it's a game you like so much. I'm totally agreeing. I think Cuphead is better.
Okay. Cassette Beasts. We talked about that last week. Was that last week?
I mean, last week, listeners-wise, yes. It's been a little bit.
It's been a little while for us. I just like Cuphead better. Okay.
I don't feel like they're different. They're so different. This is also, you know, Cassette Beast is so much more turn-based, plotting, slow. You're kind of in for the vibes and in for the strategy, where Cuphead is like, you don't have time to strategize. You just have to move.
Right. And then afterwards, you might take a breath and be like, don't die there. Go! Yeah, it's above Cuphead East for me. You ready for some crazy things? I think it's better than Stardew Valley.
Wow. I'm also... I like it better than Stardew. You don't have to fight me there.
No, I don't have to fight you, Paul. Paul's list, Serpent Valley, would be on a... I know you know. I
really
know.
Want to like Stardew Valley, and I know it's a game that in the right circumstances, in the right phase of life, with the right things going on, with potentially with the right mods. Like, I consume YouTube videos that talk about different mods to put on Stardew Valley.
And they're so interesting.
And I'm just like, I think I would really like to do that, but I just don't have the time to actually play the game like I would want to be able to play this game. And so I just don't.
I do love me some Stardew Valley, but I think I had Cuphead's above that. So, this is the very last game in Cut Ahead is Slay the Spire. What are your thoughts? Slay the Spire versus Cuphead. This is my first time that I'm like, maybe Slay the Spire wins. This is the first time I felt that. But I'm not confident in that.
Yeah, so... I feel like Slay the Spire is an even keel game. And there are times where you can do basically everything right and play strategically well and lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that stinks, but I don't feel like when that happens that you are devastated. When things go well, it is very satisfying. And, like, there's the depth of strategy and the different characters. And you can feel clever and smart. And you can get lucky. And there can be, you know, like a smile nod and kind of shake your fist moment.
Right.
But you're never jumping out of your seat. I think that's one thing that, like, for Towerfall, that we really brought it up was all of these chaotic, joyous, like, co-op... Everyone stand and cheer because someone right. you didn't think was going to win pulled it out and like they're on your team and they beat the best player on the other team. Like those moments. And I think Cuphead gives those moments. It has way higher highs, but also some potentially really low lows. Like that emotional spectrum just kind of hits. And I think because of those potential low lows, like if you can stick it out or like put it down and come back, like when you beat a hard boss that you have been, like, just dying to over and over again, like, the euphoria that you feel, just,
it is nice.
It just is, like, this big release of just, like, I did it! Like,
yeah.
And that aspect, I just think is so cool. That I kind of am leaning towards Cuphead. Just, I also think, like, the score, I think the music is better.
Yeah.
I like the art more.
Yeah.
Slay the Spire, the hard part about Slay the Spire is it's a game, for a lot of roguelike people always say, oh yeah, you could just like jump back into it whenever and just play a run. But I don't. Slay the Spire is the one exception to that.
Yeah.
Where I can be like, hey, I have enough time to, you know, play a game. I'll just play, you know, a run or two of Slay the Spire. And I probably won't win because I feel like there's a degree of, like, you need to get in the groove.
Right.
Or you need to get the right, you know, draws on the cards you can add to your deck. But that doesn't take... because I think partially because it's an even keel game, that you can just have, like, a steady enjoyment and know that when you put the game down in half an hour, that
yeah,
it was a good time and you don't, like... And I've been replaying... Elden Ring lately, and there are some times where you just are like, I am so tilted right now, and I can't keep playing, but now I am ending my gaming session just feeling like crap. And I feel like Cuphead has potential for that, but I don't know. So the question is like, is it just a steady experience?
So here's a thought that I have. So we have 22 games on this list right now. So be number 23. Of the games, like, because we both are, you know, we watch our YouTube. You were talking about Stardew Valley.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you watch. Of these games, which ones do you actually still, like, watch or do you watch things on?
I mean, I watch things on Hollow Knight, occasional Stardew Valley, occasional Tunic. Chance the Snar has been, and same with Cassette Beast, but I think those were probably because they're both been recent.
Right.
And that is it.
So for me, the ones that I still watch, I'll watch.
Oh, I also see stuff with Cuphead, but yeah. It's fresh for me,
okay.
Too.
Okay. So Super Auto Pets, I watch a lot of Super Auto Pets YouTube, which is kind of embarrassing, but it is fun. Then just a little bit of like Stardew Valley, but Slay the Spire is one of those that like I want to watch other people play. Whereas
never once watched a single person play Slay the Spire.
It's very interesting. I got a lot better doing it.
I believe that that's how you would get better.
Anyway, so I was just curious because I was thinking about the fact that I will still watch Slay the Spire stuff every so often. And I've never watched Cuphead stuff. But
I have a thought.
Okay, give me your thought.
And I don't know that how you're going to take it. We've been talking this whole time about Cuphead.
Talk about Celeste.
I think there is an argument for it to be the very, very bottom of Skip the Line.
So I think my gut is telling me it needs to be above Slay the Spire, even though even though my heart, my gut is saying above, my heart is saying keep Slay the Spire.
Yeah.
But I think Cuphead does need to go above Slay the Spire, and I made the connection between Celeste and Cuphead earlier, and I think that we talk about this, and then we decide which one it goes into.
Okay. Is there any world where it goes above Celeste for you?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I want you to hear your thoughts. Go for it.
So they're both platformers that are very tight. The Cuphead gets a huge nod in terms of visual appeal. Celeste gets a nod in just the story.
Stories,
the connection that you make with Madeline. And, like, there are so many... I don't think it goes above Celeste, but it is...
I think they both do a really great job of, you lost, let's put you back in really close to
really
where you were
at. Of both of them. I think that, like, Celeste is... There's no... The Cuphead has the shooting aspect and, like, the customizing...
And the phases.
Customizing your personal thing, like, trying to figure out the best way to go about this, where Celeste has her abilities, and yes, she can grab a couple different like items that allow her to like interact with the world differently for a brief moment, like the feather or like whatever, just the different elements of each of the levels. I think that they're pretty close in my head actually, but I do think that Celeste is better than Cuphead, and it should.
Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts and go through that, because in my world, there is no way that Cuphead goes above Celeste, but I think it can come really close to its tail.
Yeah. So then the question is, is it
in top of Cuphead or the bottom of Skip the Line?
That is a great question. This is the most difficult of the two right now for me. It's not even in between games. I think we have the right spot. It's number four. That is for sure for me. But should it go into Cuphead or Skip the Line? I think it should be in Cuphead.
I'm okay with that.
All right. So
keeping Skip the Line a very exclusive group.
All right. So that means...
I also want to keep the door open for us to come back and slide it up in a future episode.
If it needs to. If we need to rearrange the order. And it's like, we're so well organized that people who are listening to this can definitely find a list that has all the different things. We don't have any of that stuff going for us. But anyways, Cuphead is the new number four on the list. If you haven't played it and you like hard games,
if you're not good at video games, do not touch this. Just go watch some people play it, because it's really pretty.
It is really pretty. Well, anyways, thanks for listening to IndieQ.